Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. And joining me is a veteran Houston sports radio voice who now covers the Texans on his Houston football YouTube channel. Most of you, I'm sure, recognize Cody Stutes. Great to see you, Cody. It's too bad the Texans are having a slow week.
There's nothing slow about the Texans since basically about 11 and a half months ago. Once the 2023 draft happened, it's been full speed ahead, pedal to the metal since then, and they have given us plenty to talk about.
Yeah, it's funny because we actually scheduled this before the Diggs trade, so worked out perfectly, and might as well come hot out of the chute with your take, Cody. The Texans basically moved from the 23rd pick to the 42nd pick to get a 30-year-old four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver. Do you love the Stephon Diggs deal?
Love would be a strong word. I like it. And here's the reason I like it. It gives you a 1-2-3 that is as good as any 1-2-3 in all of football. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs as the 1-2-3, when it just comes to wide receivers, is about as good as it gets. Now you start adding in Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon, year two of C.J. Stroud, hopefully a healthy offensive line, and you start to see the top-end potential of this offense. There's definitely a route and a possibility that this is a top-flight offensive unit in 2024, and they're possibly going to be that without Stephon Diggs, but it even becomes more realistic with Diggs on the team. That's the biggest element to me. There's obviously some concerns. I don't like when guys are unhappy during success. You want to be unhappy on a crappy team, like those Browns team that won like one game over 2 years. You want to be unhappy on those teams? Be my guest. That makes a lot of sense. When you're unhappy when the team's constantly winning and going to the playoffs and competing for an AFC championship even to that occasion, that's a red flag for me. So I am a little worried about that standpoint. Is can you make Stephon Diggs a happy enough guy that it's not an issue, that it's not a problem in 2024 with this team? He doesn't upset the balance in the locker room. He doesn't change the chemistry of this team. That's my biggest concern. But heck, I got a lot of trust in DeMeco Ryans as a head coach, C.J. Stroud as a quarterback that a wide receiver is going to love. I like the chances to fix that issue.
The Texans don't need Diggs to be a number one wide receiver, but his numbers dropped off a cliff the last 12 weeks in Buffalo. Is that a red flag for you? What do you think about the analytics on that?
Yes and no. It's never good when a guy has a long stretch where he's not a productive player and you start factoring in age, you start thinking about it. And the conversation on Stephon Diggs is, hey, like he didn't finish the season well. He's had some, I know he's played, but he's had some injuries creep up on him. Like you are a little worried about that. There was also chaos in Buffalo last year. They changed offensive coordinators. He didn't love the offense to begin with. Then they changed offensive coordinators. So I'm not super worried about that. And think about this. Most people believed poor finish to the season for Stephon Diggs. Things trended down at the end of the 2023 season. Well, you look at the overall season, he still had 8 touchdowns over 1,100 yards. That's a down year? Like, that's a down year for the guy? Like, come on. That's a really good down year. Most guys would sign up for that in August training camp. Oh, I'm going to have 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns? Most guys would sign up for that. So Diggs, despite having the down year, was still really productive. That's in a situation where he was the clear-cut, no question, top guy. Now he gets to share with Tank Dell and Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon and the rest of that offense. He gets to share, and they take a little bit of the load off of him. That is a really, really good situation for bouncing back from that poor finish of 2023.
You mentioned the cranky Stephon Diggs, and you know Texans players and DeMeco played up that incredible locker room chemistry this past year. I mean, you go to any successful team, and they're always talking about chemistry. Are you worried, Cody, about adding a guy that's not just cranky maybe towards management, but he's had public disputes with his coach and his quarterback, and you know this is a quarterback that is still only in his second year?
I'm not worried about that, and here's why. I understand where Sean McDermott, with some of the stuff that we've read that's come out about McDermott, with the issue of being a defensive coach, not being able to keep the Kansas City Chiefs from getting a field goal with 13 seconds left on the clock. I understand where a defensive coach kind of lose it a little bit. And when I hear players on the Texans, and I hear players on other teams, and I hear draft prospects who are getting to know the Texans talk about how great it is that DeMeco Ryans was a player, has been in their shoes, knows what they're going through, that to me is a huge added element to the D'Amico Ryan's head coach conversation is that he seems to identify with these guys as good as coaches can from that head coach spot. And then from the quarterback standpoint, go watch a Josh Allen interview. Go watch Josh Allen mic'd up. He seems very blah. He seems very average from a personality standpoint. And then go watch C.J. Stroud. I liken C.J. Stroud's personality to his teammates. When he sees a teammate or when he gets excited to talk about a teammate, it's like when you come home and you've been at work all day and your dog greets you at the door. They're just excited to see you. They don't care about anything else. They're excited to see you. I think the mood and mentality of C.J. Stroud is something that's really attractive to Stephon Diggs and will be really attractive to Stephon Diggs. And it's going to be hard to be a bad teammate to C.J. Stroud with the way that C.J. Stroud approaches business and the way that teammates talk about him and the way he talks about his teammates. It'd be very hard to see how he ends up being a bad teammate to C.J. Stroud. So I'm not worried about those issues.
I mean, was Josh Allen taking him over to his house for dinner? Was he taking him to church? I mean, what's going on over there?
The C.J. Stroud's famous Taco Tuesdays that Dalton Schultz talked about this past year. You get Stephon Diggs over for a couple of Taco Tuesdays at C.J. Stroud's house, everything will be kumbaya in that locker room.
Let me ask you about Robert Woods. Is he going to be a casualty of the deal? Does he even make it to camp?
I wouldn't do it yet. You don't need to. You don't have to if you're the Texans, but it's pretty clear who the top four wide receivers are, and that's Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and then Noah Brown coming back on the one-year deal up to $5 million. Those are your top four guys. With that standpoint and with that aspect of it, who's that fifth guy? Who's that sixth guy if they decide to keep six guys? Is it Robert Woods? Is it the vet? Is it Xavier Hutchinson? Is it John Metchie? Like, there's a lot of questions. You don't have to answer those questions in April. You can answer those questions in July and August as training camp goes through. And my goodness, knock on wood here, guys get hurt. You want options, and you love options that are familiar with your team and your offense. I know they like what Robert Woods brings to the table from like an intangibles standpoint and some of the dirty work that he does at the wide receiver spot. You don't have to move on from him yet. I just feel like it would be a big shock if he's on the team come final cutdown day. But if he is, that means he played his tail off and earned that spot. The Texans are not going to just give him that spot because he's a veteran that they like. That means he played really well in training camp and earned, it turned out to be a worthwhile guy to keep around. So you don't have to make any moves with Robert Woods right now.
But does the Robert Woods money free up a little Steven Nelson money, for example?
I think the Steven Nelson ship has sailed. And I feel like D'Amico Ryans wanted to or was comfortable with getting younger at cornerback. That's why you've got Okuda and C.J. Henderson fighting for that spot opposite Derek Stingley. Don't get me wrong. Steven Nelson's consistency and level of play much better than both of those guys over the past couple of seasons. Steven Nelson also, by the end of the season, you know, was seeing his play affected by some of the injuries that he suffered. Older guys, easier for them to get hurt than younger guys. I think the Steven Nelson ship has sailed. And we're looking at Jeff Okuda, C.J. Henderson, and maybe a rookie competing for that cornerback two spot opposite Derek Stingley for the duration of 2024.
Diggs's contract has an out at the end of this year. He signed about 18 to 19 a year. He signed for about 18 to 19 a year until 2027. We're recording this Thursday afternoon. Do you think Caserio is working on a reworked contract as we speak?
Well, yes, because as we're recording this, here's what Adam Schefter just tweeted. How about this? They wiped out the final 3 years of Stephon Diggs' contract. So Stephon Diggs now has a one-year, $22.5 million contract with the Houston Texans. They moved his $3.5 million guaranteed up a year, got rid of the last 3 years. So he is a one-year contract right now at $22.5 million. And as Schefter puts in the tweet, they're going to get the best version of Diggs, they believe, because he's going to want to rebuild his value heading into free agency a year from now. So that's a fascinating move. I felt like there was going to be some manipulation of the money because it was no longer guaranteed after this season. So manipulate the money, maybe lower the cap hit, give him some guaranteed cash. But ultimately they decided, hey, let's give this a one-year test run. If it's good, they can bring him back. They can extend him next offseason. They can bring him back. If it doesn't work, he moves on. Or if he plays awesome and prices himself out of the Texans situation, so be it. You got a really good season out of Stephon Diggs here in 2024. So I thought that was a really interesting move by the Texans. And for anybody who has long-term concerns about Diggs, well, he no longer has a long-term option guaranteed with this team because the contract final 3 years got wiped out.
Make a note, kids. Don't turn off your Adam Schefter notifications or you could miss something. Do you think this plays a role at all in Nico's future in Houston or his potential contract?
It's funny you say that. As I was writing for Houston football, as I was getting ready for us putting this together, I was thinking about how does this affect Nico Collins long-term? What does this mean for Nico Collins long-term? And then obviously the Schefter news pops up here. With Diggs being just a one-year commitment now, it doesn't affect Nico Collins' long-term future. I don't believe it affected Nico Collins' long-term future anyway if they had made the adjustment to Diggs's contract. You've still got the money to pay Nico Collins. He's still a guy that is familiar with your team, been with your team for the past few seasons. Nick Caserio drafted him. It's not like some new GM is coming in here and Nico's finally showing promise. Caserio is seeing what he saw when he made the draft pick to select Nico Collins. So that's, you know, him being a Caserio guy is a big positive for him. It's not going to be super expensive. Like, it's going to be pricey, but it's not going to be, you know, Tyreek Hill money, Devontae Adams money, but it's going to be pricey to keep him. I don't know that Diggs affects Collins' money. Maybe it affects the timing. Maybe the timing is a little bit closer to training camp, start of training camp, start of the season, than maybe right after the draft, which is kind of where I felt like it might end up. So maybe the timing and the timeline shifts a little bit, but I would still try to get Nico Collins, because think about it this way. Stephon Diggs guaranteed free agency a year from now. If you don't extend Nico Collins, he's headed to free agency or you're franchise tagging him. Well, the franchise tag's really expensive. I don't believe the way Nick Caserio operates, he ever truly wants to use the franchise tag. I just the way he talked about it at the scouting combine makes it seem like he thinks it's a negative in the negotiation with the player because it sets a tone for how much money the player should be making or could be making. So I don't know that he wants to use the franchise tag. So it makes a lot of sense to keep Nico Collins around, extend him, you know, have him sort of line up with these cheap years of CJ Stroud's contract.
Yeah, call me Pollyanna, but it would sure be nice to see a Texans draft pick make it to a second contract besides Titus Howard.
Right. Right. Yeah, Nico Collins would be a great one because if he gets that second contract, one, there's a belief that he can replicate what he did this past season. And if the second contract comes at the end of this season, that means that he did replicate what he did in 2023. And though it would be pricey, it'd be worth keeping a guy like that around for sure.
BetGM moved up the Texans Super Bowl odds from 25-1 to 15-1. BetOnline even has them as the third favorite to win the Super Bowl. Cody, where are you putting the Texans just among the AFC favorites like the Chiefs and Ravens? Has this moved them ahead of any of those two teams, or are they still kind of in that second group?
They're firmly third in the AFC rankings for me. They're ahead of Buffalo. Obviously, Buffalo's had to lose a lot of different players this offseason, including Stephon Diggs. Miami has had to gut a couple of key depth pieces to make things work for the Dolphins. The Steelers are in quarterback purgatory. The Texans, when healthy, beat a healthy Bengals team last year. So they're ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's the Ravens and the Chiefs ahead of the Houston Texans. The Ravens are ahead of the Texans until the Texans beat the Ravens. That's as far as I'm going to go with that conversation. Two times last year, the Ravens took care of the C.J. Stroud-led Houston Texans. And until C.J. Stroud and the Texans beat the Ravens, I'm going to believe the Ravens are a better football team than them. And then until Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are not a tandem, they're going to scare me. They're going to be a tough team to beat. They're going to be a tough out. I don't care who the other 21 starters are on that team. If Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are there, the Kansas City Chiefs are a tough out. They're a tough out on a Sunday night, a Sunday afternoon, a Monday night, a Thursday night, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, whatever. They're a tough out. You don't want to see them. Obviously, the Texans are going to get a crack at both those teams prior to the playoffs with the regular season schedule. So they have a chance to prove from a regular season standpoint, can they be better? But you got to be able to beat those teams when it matters. And if you get the chance against the Ravens or the Chiefs, we'll find out where the Texans sit. But right now, for me, squarely third in the AFC. And there's really not an NFC team that I'm putting in the conversation with these AFC teams outside of San Francisco. So easily top five when you factor in all the teams, top three in the AFC.
Yeah, if Taylor Swift can't jinx the band, I don't know what gets to him. Let me ask you this. What positions do you think the Texans need to get now that they picked up Diggs with their second round picks?
I would still draft a wide receiver, especially now that we see that the contract is changing for Stephon Diggs and he's not going to be guaranteed to be here past 2024. I'd still draft a wide receiver to have a young guy come in there and you can take a chance now. Maybe before the Stephon Diggs trade, there was a desire to have a high floor, low ceiling guy. Maybe a guy that's a little bit safer than some of the other draft prospects. Now, if you want to take a guy that needs maybe a year to develop, well, he has a year to develop sitting behind Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Noah Brown. And so that player maybe is ready to step into some of the reps that would be vacated if Diggs leaves after just one season. So a guy like Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, who profiles as one of the most freaky athletes at the wide receiver spot. Not a lot of guys are as fast, as strong, and as big as he is at the wide receiver spot, but he's been a one-year wonder. He's played wide receiver for a handful of years. He has one successful season in college. Like, he needs some seasoning. Maybe I'd take a player like that over a more ready-to-play day one guy like Roman Wilson from Michigan because I can have that guy get some seasoning in 2024 and be ready in 2025. So I think about a wide receiver still with the adjustment to Stephon Diggs' contract. I would think about adding another big boy at the defensive tackle spot, somebody who is – maybe more unique than what they have at the defensive tackle spot right now. So a giant body, and I know that doesn't typically profile the way that D'Amico Ryans profiles defensive tackles, but T'Vondre Sweat at 360-plus pounds is they don't make a lot of human beings like that anymore. Like, there's just not a lot of people that are built that way to play in the NFL for a variety of reasons. Well, to have one of those guys with all the other bodies that you have a defensive tackle, it'd be a fun investment there. I would look for some cornerback depth. If you felt like a guy could push Okuda or Henderson by the end of the year, I'd certainly would go about signing him up. The Texans have met with a handful of different cornerbacks outside of the top names. You know, a guy like Cam Hart from Notre Dame is a name that I would keep an eye on. Long, athletic guy. You know, maybe not the best tape, maybe not the best workouts, but the Texans talked to him at the Senior Bowl. Kalen King is a guy they've talked to a couple of times, starting with the Senior Bowls. He's from people at Penn State. The production, not quite there. The workout, not quite there. But again, you don't have to help right away in 2024 at corner. You can sort of grow into that spot. I look for some safety depth, some linebacker depth as well. And, I mean, look, with the injuries on the offensive line, I don't love drafting offensive linemen when you've got the massive amount of commitment that the Texans have at the offensive line. But if the right guy was there to play swing tackle with some of the injuries to the tackles that the Texans have dealt with over the past couple of seasons, or the right guy was there for some interior depth, I'd think about it. Not a priority, but I'd think about it.
Yeah, I'm all about cornerback because the guy on the other side is a walking injury. And the other part about it is, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Texans don't need a second-round cornerback. They just picked up a second-round quarterback. Lonnie Johnson, baby. Lonnie Johnson is a second-round. Oh, I'm sorry. what was your least favorite Texans offseason move?
It's still baffling to me what Malik Collins' situation is, that they would just jettison him for a small cap savings and a seventh-round pick. So that is pretty interesting. I do wonder if the Texans have some concerns maybe from a health standpoint. Collins was banged up there at the end of the year, so maybe it's a health issue that they're worried about going forward. But he was a productive player for them for the past couple of seasons. He was one of the guys that Nick Caserio targeted throughout this rebuild, this retool that he had to go through, and extended him a couple of different times. So Collins getting traded for next to nothing, and the Texans only saving a few million bucks, that's a bit of a head scratcher, unless, you know, these medicals indeed are, you know, a question mark from Malik Collins. So I didn't love that. I don't love Okuda and Henderson as the options at corner. I maybe would have spent a little bit more and, you know, sort of handed it to a new version of Steven Nelson, if you will. So a veteran who's been around the block a little bit, played for a couple different teams, and, you know, maybe right there at the, you know, close to the expiration date of his top level talent. But the cornerback market was pretty expensive especially for Owuzie from Cincinnati was a guy that I was thinking the Texans maybe would chase. He ended up getting, you know, $10 million a year. That's more than I was comfortable paying him if I was the Texans. So I didn't love the Collins deal. I don't love the cornerback situation opposite Derek Stingley. Okuda, again, the guy that, you know, probably is, if they had to play a game tomorrow, cornerback too. He's got injury concerns too. You mentioned Derek Stingley, you know, past two seasons in the NFL, final two seasons at LSU, injuries drastically affected him. So consistency and health is something that they don't necessarily have all the way throughout that cornerback room right now.
Yeah. And I would say the cornerbacks, you know, those two moves, I'm not necessarily a fan of, as opposed to at least Nelson, you know what he could give you. But the second thing that really bothered me, I don't know what you thought, but wasn't a fan of the Joe Mixon extension. I wasn't super happy with the move because I just, you know, there's some personal stuff I don't like about him, but the extension really bothered me.
Yeah, the extension is, it was a little bit more curious than the move for Mixon. I mean, they chased so many different guys, it feels like, at the running back spot and missed and missed and missed and missed and missed. I believe Joe Mixon is better than Devin Singletary. I would feel better about Joe Mixon if Devin Singletary was still in the building, though. Obviously, Singletary got more than the Texans were comfortable paying from the Giants to replace Barkley in New York. The extension, it really comes out to like a $13 million a year deal. Like, you know, it's $13 million guaranteed. You can just kind of get rid of everything after that. So Mixon this year and next year, I feel like, is the running back. But after that, I would think that they'll have a succession plan or a guy ready to take over for Mixon. I don't think he sees the last year of that deal, or maybe even the next to last year of that extension that the Texans gave him. But it was a little bit of a head scratcher. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But it helped. It certainly helped Joe Mixon's feel and vibe, as he talked about how he felt like it felt great to be wanted by the Texans and how he's going to give it his all for them because they really want him there. And it seems like Cincinnati kind of just jettisoned him there at the end. So we're all motivated by money at some point. If you get a little bit extra Joe Mixon because you gave him a little bit of extra money, it's probably worth the investment. I would have liked to have seen maybe some of that money spent in additional depth at the running back spot too.
What's your favorite Texans offseason move?
I mean, Danielle Hunter. I mean, this guy's a freak. I mean, he looks like a bodybuilder when you see him out of the uniform. And then in the uniform, he's a nightmare. It's a guy that spent a lot of his youth in Houston, formative years of his career, still lives here. I thought it was great that he talked about watching the game in the playoffs in Houston against the Browns and watching it from the stands and kind of seeing, okay, they got something going here. The commitment to him is obviously expensive for these next 2 years. He's really good, though. Every season he's been healthy, he's had double-digit sacks pretty much. He was tied for the league lead in tackles for a loss last year. He's going to be an incredible foil to Will Anderson over there at the defensive end spots. And it's not often, Robert, that you see a team set the team's franchise record for sacks and then swap out three of the four starters on that defensive line. But that's what the Texans did. And I can make a sound argument that they upgraded at that defensive end spot opposite Will Anderson. Now, I don't know if they upgraded a defensive tackle, but Anderson and Danielle Hunter is a scary duo. Hunter's my favorite. And then just hearing D'Amico Ryans and Nick Cassero talk about D'Amico Autry as sort of, I call him the new Jerry Hughes. He's arriving to Houston the same age Jerry Hughes was when he first got to Houston, but he's arriving a far more productive player than what Jerry Hughes was when he got here. Autry's a close second to Danielle Hunter, but Danielle Hunter's my favorite, followed by Autry, and then Aziz Alshire, the linebacker.
We might have touched on it already with some of what you're talking about with the draft, but what's your biggest concern about the Texans roster at this second?
I'm worried about health, but that's every team at this point. But if Derek Stingley goes down, the cornerback situation is teetering on disaster. If you're not healthy at the safety spot, Eric Murray is a fine backup. MJ Stewart's a fine backup. You could use a little bit more there. And then I'm worried about the running back spot if Joe Mixon does, you know. So there's depth spots. It's key depth positions. You know, if Mixon can't go, who's the running back? Damian Pierce didn't play well last year. They seemingly don't trust him to run this style of offense. And I know he talked about how he's going to go and really immerse himself this offseason to get ready for it. But you can't bet on Damian Pierce being the guy. So I'm worried about the depth at running back, safety, and cornerback. And look, I'm worried about this offensive line. Like, they've got four spots locked up. We know four offensive linemen. It's Laremy Tunsil, it's Titus Howard, it's Shaq Mason, and then Juice Scruggs at one of the two inside spots, either left guard or center. And then they'll figure out that other spot, likely with guys that are already on the roster. Kendrick Green, Kenyon Green, Jarrett Patterson, guys like that. But what if they're just not as good as we thought they were going to be after all these investments? Because think about what it took to get Tunsil. Andy's the most expensive left tackle in football. Titus Howard's one of the most expensive right tackles in football. Shaq Mason's one of the most expensive guards in football. Juice Scruggs is a second-round pick. Kenyon Green's a first-round pick. Kendrick Green cost you a draft pick. Jarrett Patterson was a late-round pick. Like, there's a lot of investment. What if they're just not as good as we think they're going to be? That's my worry there. They're also one injury away from digging into not a lot of depth. They had George Fant last year, thank goodness, for the backup tackle spot. Right now, the backup tackle is Charlie Heck, David Sharp.
That scares me.
You know, so swing tackle is something that the Texans need to address at some point. Now, Cassario got lucky last year. He got George Fant for less than $2 million right as training camp was starting, so maybe he's got one of those up his sleeve. But I'm worried about the offensive line's talent ceiling being a lot lower than we thought. At the same time, just keep CJ Stroud upright. He may be able to take care of business, but I am a little worried about that O-line.
I have been a Jalen Petrie critic, and last thing I want to hit you with is, where are you? Is this guy salvageable in year three?
Sure hope so, because there's an alternate universe where Jalen Petrie's not on this team and Kyle Hamilton is, and Kyle Hamilton is a monster for the Baltimore Ravens, and that would be an incredible chess piece for D'Amico Ryans to move around on the field, but he doesn't have him. He has Jalen Petrie. Petrie played poorly last year. He got benched at one point, and I know this team likes him. I know this team wants him to do good. Nick Cassario said if he had 10 more Jalen Petries, they'd be fantastic. I don't know that I agree with that, but he's got to bounce back. He's going to start. Him and Jimmy Ward are the starters at safety, and Eric Murray is going to help out. And they used Eric Murray a lot last year prior to Murray's injury, and D'Amico Ryans likes Eric Murray. Talking to him in Orlando about the safety spot and about Eric Murray, he really likes the versatility that he can use with those safeties when he can put Murray on the field as a third safety. So, you know, maybe with Murray being healthy and being the third safety, they can do some more interesting things with Jalen Petrie. But he didn't do anything well last year. He didn't blitz well. He didn't tackle well. He didn't cover well. Nothing. He's got to be a much better player because he's going to have a lot of snaps ahead of him. And there's not a for sure consensus guy ready to compete with him and take his job on this roster right now.
Give me one more plug on the show before we wrap things up and where people can hit you up.
You can find me right here on YouTube. Just type in Cody Stutes. You'll find the channel. Tons of stuff coming up there. And then Houston Football, where I do all my writing about the Houston Texans. Got some free content on there. Got some paid content on there. Just $7 a month. Just throw it in your Google machine. Cody Stutes, Houston Football. It'll come up. And something there for everybody when it comes to Houston Football. It's what I do. It's my gig. I cover this team full time. And I go to everything. Support from the listeners make it possible for me to go to the Senior Bowl, the Scouting Combine, the annual meetings in Orlando and cover this team and uncover these things and hear these rumors and things like that about the team and bring it all back to the great Texans fans that consume all the content. So I greatly appreciate you having me on, exposing me to your audience, and hopefully we'll get some extra eyeballs that haven't seen you before over here on this channel.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, if they're watching me, a lot of times they're watching you too. I can see that in my numbers and stuff like that. And just a fun time to be a Texans fan, time to follow this team. Just an unbelievable turnaround and just over a year. I'm still catching up to it. It's just so amazing. But hey, thanks so much for taking the time. I'd love to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a weird April when off-season conversation of the Texans feels a lot better than the start to the Astros season. But that's where we are right now. That's where we are. That's how good the Texans have been this offseason that we can sort of forget this rough start to the Astros season.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.